Tabernacle. I trust that you enjoyed that, appreciated that. And today we are starting a series called Following God. What does it mean to follow God? What is it when, we talk about our walk with God, our oneness with the Lord? Well, what exactly does that mean, and where does this idea come from? And so this morning we start, this is lesson one in a series called Following God. Let's go ahead and open with prayer, and we'll jump right in. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We ask that you would be with us this morning as we look into your word, Lord. Just help us to see the design that you had for us. And just help us to grow from what we will look at this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Following God. Now, we're going to start this morning in the book of Genesis. Now, Genesis, very familiar story that we're going to look at. But Genesis means beginnings. And it's God's book of beginnings. When we look in Genesis, we see the beginning of creation. We see the beginning of Adam and Eve. We see the beginning of marriage and family. We see the beginning, if you will, of life then here on this earth. But a lot of times when we look at the beginning of the book of Genesis, or at the start of Genesis, we just look at it as if it is the record of Adam's beginnings. But in reality, it is the record of our beginning. And as we study Genesis, it helps us to understand our journey in walking in the ways of God, where our daily walk with the Lord has its beginnings all the way back in Genesis in the first couple of chapters. Knowing what it means then to follow God and experiencing the joy of the daily walk with Him is taught in the very first chapters of the book of Genesis. So, go ahead, open up to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at we're going to take a very quick look, I mean a very quick look, at creation. Look at Genesis 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, you should read that in the Tyndale version, that very, very first English version, and try to read that and go, wow, King James is so much, but the way that he put it was, God said, "Let there be light, and light there be." I'm like, I like that. That's kind of neat. But anyway, 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Look at verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Verse 9, and God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." Verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Verse 24, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. As we look at these verses, we notice that God spoke into existence all the animals and all the plants of the earth. And the Bible says that he looked at his creation and saw that it was good. But it's worth noting that none of the creations, none of the things that God had created, could personally relate to the Lord. Not one of his creations, not anything that he had created, could have a personal relationship with him. So later then, on the sixth day, God created man. And this creation was going to be different. God had a different purpose in mind for his last creation, and that creation would be different in three ways. Look over Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The first difference, man was formed by God himself out of the dust of the ground. God is going to work as a skilled craftsman here, rather than just simply speaking Adam into existence. Now, that's what God could have done. He could have simply spoke Adam into existence, but instead, the Bible tells us that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. The second thing, God breathed his breath into man. As he spoke all the other creatures into existence, he spoke them into existence with life. But here we have God forming man and then breathing into man's nostrils the breath of life. And when God breathed then into the face of Adam, he not only put the life breath into Adam, he gave Adam something of himself. He gave Adam something of his person. It says Adam became a living soul. He is going to become a living soul. He is going to have then a likeness to God. He's got God breath, if you will, in him. Here was man in the image of God. And man was a God-breathed creation that was uniquely related to the Creator. None of the other animals, plants, whatever that God had created was created with God breath, if you will. So man is going to be uniquely related to the Creator, imparted with immortality. When God breathed into the form of Adam, that breath, he is also giving Adam immortality. And he is giving Adam a design to walk in that relationship with God day by day, all day. God created Adam to have the relationship with the Creator that none of the other creations had. God did not create cattle. He didn't create goats. He didn't create any of the other animals to have a relationship with him. He created man specifically to have a relationship between man and his creator. The third thing that God did differently was God gave man the ability to reason and gave him the choice, or gave him the ability to choose his course of action. God clearly had something more in common, not in common, he had something more in store for Adam than he did for the rest of his creation. And what the difference was, is God wanted Adam to bear his image. Look at Genesis 1, 26. This is the key verse here. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, God said, God said he's going to create man, and man would be created in the likeness of God. Now, what that likeness means is that we are going to be made to reflect what God is. It's in our likeness. It's in his likeness. It doesn't mean we're going to be exactly like God, but we are to reflect what God is like. Now, how many of you ever look into a mirror? Don't answer that question. I already know the answer. Some people spend more time in front of the mirror than others. But when we look into a mirror, what we see is not us. What we see is not us. It is a reflection of us. And once we leave, the reflection then is gone. And man then was made, he was designed to reflect the image of God. That was the idea. We were to reflect the image of God. But in order for that to happen, there must be a personal relationship between God and man. It was necessary, if man is going to reflect God, if he's going to be in the image of God, then there must be a relationship between God and man in order for man to reflect God. Man was designed to walk with God in a unique person-to-person, heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind, spirit-to-spirit relationship. Man was designed for a oneness between God the Creator and man. He was created for a special relationship between Creator and creation. And out of that relationship then, we would begin to see life as it was intended to be. A relationship first with God, then with other people. And walking in the oneness that God had designed for Adam, walking in that oneness is the only way to truly follow God and to know and to do His will. So here is God. He creates Adam with the purpose of reflecting Himself. God wanted Adam to reflect the image of God. But the only way he could do that would be in a good, intimate spiritual relationship with his Creator. That is God's design. But for God to be reflected in us, because that's still God's design for man today, is that we would reflect the image of God. But in order to reflect the image of God, we must walk with him still daily. We must walk with him day by day. We must be in submission, we must be in obedience to the Lord in order to reflect. Adam was created with the purpose of reflecting God. And early on, we're told God would walk in the garden. There would be a relationship between Adam and God, and Adam was able to reflect, if you will, the image of God. Then sin entered into the picture. Look at chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now earlier, we used the analogy of the mirror to explain how we were to reflect the image of God. Now, let's consider the moon. The moon lights up the night sky. When the moon is full, it gives enough light that you can travel freely at night. I mean, if you walk outside on a clear night when it's a full moon, you can walk around without any need of a flashlight or anything like that. The moon is giving plenty of light. But in reality, the moon has no real light of its own. It simply reflects the light of the sun. If the sun were to stop shining, the moon would go black. In fact, unless the moon is facing the sun, it has no light at all to give us. When something stands between the moon and the sun, the moon ceases to give light. The moon cannot fill its purpose apart from the sun. The moon cannot give any light whatsoever apart from its relationship to the sun. In the same way, man derives his purpose from God and is dependent on God to fulfill his purpose. If man stops walking in the relationship with God, he stops reflecting the light of God. The image of God can no longer be seen. If man is not facing God, if man is not walking in the fellowship with God, if man is not reflecting him, then it is impossible for man to do what God desires. If we don't have that personal relationship with the Lord, we cannot reflect God. And with that comes disastrous results. The outcome for Adam and Eve's failure, Adam and Eve's choice not to follow God, was a total eclipse of the oneness with God. Their decision to sin caused something to come between God and them. Instead of walking with God, we notice that they hid from Him. Yeah, instead of walking with Him, they were now hiding from Him. Instead of joy, the relationship between God and man had suddenly turned to fear. Man had allowed something to come between them and the light, and now man, Adam and Eve, stood in darkness. As a result of their sin, Adam and Eve recognized they're wrong. With their sin came guilt, came fear, came shame, and came an attempt to cover up. Of course, God comes to the garden. He is questioning Adam. And when confronted with their sin, Adam and Eve, they played the blame game. Adam tries to blames God and Eve both. He blames Eve and said, well, you know, you gave her to me. Adam tries to blame Eve and God. Eve blames the serpent. Sin had shattered the oneness with God that they had experienced. What they had known before they sinned, they no longer could experience. Instead of the oneness with God, there was now division between man and God, between the creator and the created. Instead of oneness, there is now division. They are now running away from God. Instead of honesty between themselves and their creator, we find there is now excuses and blame. the oneness between Adam and Eve was gone as well. In the place of that oneness between husband and wife, there was separation, there was blame, and there was disharmony. The image of God could no longer be reflected. The image of God could no longer be clearly seen in mankind. Remember the mirror that we spoke of? It is now stained with sin. It has now been shattered into pieces. One could occasionally catch a glimpse of the former glory, but God could no longer be clearly seen in mankind. Sin had shattered the ability of man to reflect God. And without, now that sin had entered into the picture, there was nothing that man could do to restore that mirror. There was nothing that man could do on his own. His whole purpose had been destroyed. There was nothing that he could do to restore that relationship so that he can now reflect the image of God. Man's condition then required redemption. He needed a Savior, not just to pay the price for the failure, but to rebuild what had been destroyed. He not only needed a Savior to pay for his sins, but he needed a Savior to help restore the relationship between Creator and creation. And in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Now, up until this point, it sounds like, man, you're headed for an invitation with salvation here. But that's not the point that we're going for this morning. We're talking about our walk with the Lord. Jesus Christ came to accomplish our redemption and to accomplish our restoration. He came to restore the oneness that sin had shattered. Once again, we could not do any of this on our own. Once Adam sinned, that mirror was shattered. We could not restore that mirror. Therefore, we could not fulfill our purpose, and our purpose, the reason we were created, was to reflect the image of God. Now, Jesus Christ came, and he could give his life to us so that he could live in us so that we might could live through him. His life is one with the Father. And because we now have his life in us, we can now begin to reflect the image of God. Once we have Jesus Christ in us, once we have accepted him, once he sends his, the Holy Spirit to indwell us, now through him, we have the ability to go back to our original purpose, was to reflect the image of God. We can now walk in oneness with our Creator. We can walk with oneness with our Creator, who is our Lord and Creator of his new creation. The Bible tells us we are new. We are new creatures in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. And by our submission to him, he can reign through us. And so, how is then this oneness with God to be evident in our life? How is this being filled with the Spirit helping us to reflect God to the world? Well, the answer is through the fruits of the Spirit. A Christian's life is supposed to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. And if I were to ask you, you could probably tell me several of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you can say, yeah, that's me, I keep every one of those? I get a lot of grins. Okay, good. Yeah, we you know, one or two of those, yeah. But the idea is we're supposed to be bearing the fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit includes all of these. And we said, well, we got three of those. Three out of seven or eight, that's not bad. But the point is, we should be striving to be more like the Lord so that we can reflect God back to a world that desperately needs Him. When the Holy Spirit is in control of us, when we are submissive to the Spirit, He bears the fruit of God's image in us. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is patient. God is kindness. And so when we're submissive to the Spirit, the fruit that He bears in us reflects the characteristics of God. When we choose to submit to God and His will, then He will reflect Himself in us, which was God's original purpose. You know, Adam was to reflect God. Adam was made in the image of God. He was made to reflect God. And now that Jesus Christ is our Savior and the Holy Spirit indwells us, we are able, as we become more and more submissive, we are able to fulfill God's original purpose for us. Look over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. When the Spirit of God then is in control of our lives, we can again reflect God's image. Our actions and our attitudes in our relationship with other people will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. According to Romans 8:29, though, God's purpose for His children is to be conformed to the image of His Son. God says, I want you to be conformed to the image to reflect Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that God has predestined. That's one of those words that Baptists are afraid of. Yeah, He has predestined that all who know Him will reach the goal of reflecting Jesus Christ when we are glorified. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a new work in you, I'm sorry, hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has begun a good work in you. God has started working in you. The Holy Spirit is helping you to bear the fruit of the Spirit so that each day as you walk with the Lord, as you experience this oneness with the Lord, you can every day begin to reflect the image of Jesus Christ to the world. It has begun. It's not finished. God is going to keep working on us until we go to be with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God is going to keep working on us until that time that we go to be with Him. The more we see of God, the more we are changed to be like Him. The more we walk with God, the more that we have a special oneness with Him, the more that we submit to His will, the more we are able to fulfill our purpose, which is to reflect God. We are designed to reflect God, knowing Him in an intimate oneness. Are we choosing to submit to God's authority? We have all those, the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Are we choosing to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to bear fruit in our lives? Are we choosing to submit to God's authority? This is how we walk in the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, our life exhibits the fruit of His life in us. The question we have to ask ourselves as we start this series, are we reflecting God in our lives? When the world looks at us, do they see the fruits of the Spirit? When the world looks at us, do they see God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we do thank You so much for this day, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word, Lord, and maybe see the desire that You have for us and how we are to reflect You to a world that so desperately is searching, Lord, and looking for something, Lord. And we just ask that You would help us to daily walk with You, daily submit to Your will, Lord, so that we might be able to fulfill our purpose, and that is to reflect You to our world. Lord, we ask that You would be with Pastor this morning as he brings a message. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.